We know we have some worn-out concepts. That recognition is what accepting change is all about. Economically, we have single-mindedly pursued the accumulation of wealth by embracing the belief that infinite growth is both reasonable and sustainable. Socially, we have reduced the carrying capacity of the planet while pushing the absolute limit through population growth. And politically, we have allowed corporations to escape essential regulation, bankrupted the nation with the Iraq War, and made the world less safe by undermining the United Nations. What is clear is the need for reconsidering these core economic, social, and political beliefs. Many are discouraged because these issues all need to be solved quickly. Yet, the task seems too complicated to be solved at all, let alone quickly. But conceptually, these challenges are not really that complicated, and we know what the technical solutions are. First, economically, the pursuit of unlimited growth and the creation of new wealth are not sustainable. If we are to achieve the promises of economic globalization, there needs to be greater regulation and more equitable distribution of wealth, the mechanisms for which are well understood. Second, socially, we can no longer organize our lifestyle around the accumulation of stuff, nor can we continue to tolerate the growing number of citizens who are without health care and who live in poverty. We must treat our natural resources as common wealth. And third, politically, it is our civic responsibility to ensure that the role of government protects the public interest against the excesses of unlimited corporate and individual authority. These three conclusions are not very complicated. What is difficult is our capacity to change the way we think. So, what are the old, dysfunctional core beliefs that we cannot even imagine letting go of, that we actually need to relinquish? First, there's wealth. We need to get over our belief that human progress is measured by the creation and accumulation of wealth. Only real wealth can be counted as a legitimate component of human progress. Real wealth takes the form of health, shelter, old age security, as invested and portable health and retirement benefits, freedom from exploitation, as in cheap labor that transfers the fair value of individual work to dividends and excessive executive pay, and freedom from fear. The science and technology of the modern era have given us this capacity. Second is ideologies. In the United States, we have three dominant ideologies that are reflexively treated as the definitive definition of the American way. They are, respectively, free market capitalism, individualism, and democratic freedom in the narrow sense of extreme individual rights and limited government authority. It is inconceivable that these are the best options for all people at all times, in all places. And third is nationalism. The Iraq War exposed our addiction to these simplistic ideologies. From freedom fries to Iraqi freedom, labels replaced reason, and the call to arms and the chorus of proud to be an American dismissed both international criticism and essential political debate at home. Unilateral military responses are not the source of our national strength. Three simple principles can help us regain control of both our destiny and our sense of self if we believe, 1, in achieving and respecting the power of balance, not the balance of power. Situations in which one person, institution, or nation holds the overwhelming balance of wealth, ideology, or power result in enforcement, submission, and obedience. These are the antithesis of human progress. Economically, this means addressing the excessively large and growing disparity of wealth and income in the United States. Socially, this means redefining human progress in terms of the quality of community life as a shared responsibility. And politically, this means reasserting the role of government as a civic responsibility to protect the public interest against private and corporate self-interest. Number two, establishing and enhancing knowledge as public domain, not a commodity for financial gain or political power. Historically, knowledge has served the end of advancing human progress. Recently, it has become the principal tool for the creation of wealth and power. We need to challenge this process. Economically, this means placing restrictions on the scope of intellectual property rights and stop treating them as extensions of personal property rights. Socially, this means effectively using the knowledge from modern science and technology to create a sustainable lifestyle and to end severe poverty in the less developed nations of the world. Politically, this means the new information technology must become the tool for greater participatory democracy, not for the creation of more powerful lobby groups, nor for the creation of secret files for national security purposes. And number three, building and strengthening world citizenship, not citizenships of the world. Economic globalization has escaped the boundaries of national regulation and has subverted national political power. The basic unit for civic responsibility is now global. Economically, this means making globalization work for the mutual benefit of all nations by moving away from free to fair trade to serve the needs of developing as well as the developed nations. Socially, this means working cooperatively with other nations of the world, specifically in mind and spirit, becoming citizens of the world, as well as national citizens. Politically, this means building and strengthening the United Nations as the institution for broking the emerging competing national and regional economic and social interests through a framework of international law as the means to avoid unilateral military actions. To say that the social, political, and economic issues for having a future are not complicated is not to say that actually achieving solutions will be easy. Core beliefs and values are not relinquished easily, and there are powerful forces that have a vested interest in protecting the status quo. But if we do not solve them, it will not be because the issues are conceptually too complex. We know what the issues are, and we have the technical capacity to solve them. It will be because we lack the economic, social, and political will to become critically engaged and psychologically committed to the task. Letting go of old core beliefs of wealth, ideology, and nationalism is the issue.